Hello, this is Brian Williams, formerly of NBC News. I must apologize for making things up and embellishing my news stories. I claimed a few years ago that I was flying over enemy territory and the helicopter in which I was riding was shot down by enemy fire. I claim that we crashed to the ground and nearly survived, when in fact that never happened. I was in a helicopter, but not in the one that was shot down. Our crew and the helicopter land perfectly safely, and we were not hit by enemy fire, nor were we fired upon. That was a total fabrication. I did that because I was appearing on the David Letterman show, and I wanted to be entertaining. I apologize. I lost my job accordingly, and I'm not proud of the way that I acted. In news, you must always tell the truth, and I did not. The truth is that when we got out of the helicopter, which was not hit by enemy fire, all of a sudden we saw a giant silver object in the sky. That object landed next to our helicopter. It was a huge flying saucer with lights that were rotating in a circular motion around the top of the disc. All of a sudden, my crew in the helicopter, when we were safely on land, noticed that that flying disc had landed in a field that was approximately 500 feet away from us. Suddenly, the center of this giant silver disc opened, and out came five aliens with large bulbous heads, big noses, skinny little necks, and skinny little bodies. They approached us. Their fingertips were lit up like a Christmas tree bulb. They took me and my film crew hostage and shoved us inside of a large metallic box. Hours later, we were brought into a room where there were 52 operating tables. We counted them. We were forced to lay on our backs on top of these metallic operating tables, at which time these aliens from another galaxy began probing us with the giant bulbous lit-up fingers. We were shocked. We were dismayed. We were in trouble. At that time, a large figure, which was oozing pus and semen, approached me and asked me who I was and if I was the leader of the people of Earth, to which I responded truthfully, "Yes, I am." At that time, a large knife was presented to my stomach area. At that time, I was planted with a seed to create the love child of this alien nation. That is a true story, and I am Brian Williams.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Well, hello, everybody.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. This is the show which I believe you forcefully came to listen to. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Please hold your applause until the end of the program. It screws me up. I get all flustered and embarrassed. My face turns red, not from sunburn, from embarrassment. A couple of things will turn my face red. Sunburn, embarrassment, war paint, all kinds of things like that. High blood pressure, painting my face red, eating a large apple when I'm allergic to fruit with skin on it, which I'm not. I just made that up as well. All those things. Hey, I am Ron Van Dam. This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Many of you have known me. Many of you know me as a quiet, mild-mannered individual. Those descriptions of myself are absolutely true. However, there's a side of me, basically the backside, which is a little wild and crazy, and that is a side that I expose. Hey, I'm exposing myself on the radio. How do you do that? That's the side that I expose here on this program. And I hope that I can appeal to your wild side. God, that sounded so weird and awkward. That's like your best friend coming over to your house and wanting to date your sister. I mean, you're a nice guy, but I know you too well. I don't want you dating my sister. I don't really care who she dates, but she's not dating you. You're my best friend. You're my closest bud. I feel akin to you as if you were my brother, but you ain't dating my sister, you obnoxious little twerp. As close as we are, no one dates my sister. I prefer that a stranger date my sister than you, my close friend, annoying bastard. How does that make you feel?
Good, good. That was the intent. That was the intent.
Hey, I'm saying? Oh, my God. So, I'm driving down the street yesterday. And I really was driving down the street yesterday. I swear, I got in my car and I drove down the street. And I saw this sign outside of one of those bars where they have bar pizza and bar food and bar dinners. The difference between a bar dinner and a dinner in a restaurant is these dinners are served in bars, and I assume that the kitchen in the bars are not formal gourmet kitchens. Usually kitchens and bars in bars consist of a microwave and a hot plate. And this is what I'm talking about here. So there's a large sign outside of this bar, and it says whole clam plate, $6. And I'm saying to myself, because I'm so weird, oh my God, what if you go into a restaurant and they don't give you a whole clam plate? What if you order the clams and they give you like just five little clams on a plate, and they say, this is your whole clam plate. And you go, well, wait a minute, where's the rest of my clam plate? This isn't the whole clam plate, is it? Yeah, it's the whole clam plate. That's the whole clam plate. I think what they meant was, it's not the whole clam plate, it's whole clams on a plate. And then I'm thinking to myself, what's a whole clam? Apparently, as I understand it with my educational background, apparently a whole clam is not only the neck of the clam, but it also includes the belly. And that's what a clam is. A clam apparently is a clam neck and a clam belly. That's the whole clam. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what if that were a human analogy and people, humans, were just a neck and a belly? You know, Can you imagine an animal just only consisting of a neck and a belly? It's disgusting.
I got lost in the belly of the clam, and it was a rough sea, my friends, and I got lost in the belly of a clam.
By the way, that's a disgusting concept. Apparently, we eat the clams. We'll eat the clams, but we take the bellies off. And clam aficionados love the belly. I don't feel like a whole person until I have a belly. I enjoy the belly of a clam, but is that really the belly? Is that the belly of a clam? I don't know. It just bothered me that I'm sitting there eating bellies, and I do enjoy the belly of the clam. You know what? I don't understand the lobster, that giant crayfish, that giant cockroach that is put on a plate, and you get twin lobsters. By the way, not only are you eating an animal, you're eating its twin as well. Like, you're wiping out the whole family in one meal, along with coleslaw. You're wiping out the entire coleslaw family. Lobsters are, I mean, if you just stop and look at the lobster on your plate, you're eating it's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's got tentacles and claws. It's like it's from a science fiction movie, The Attack of the Lobsters. They never did that. They never had an attack of the lobsters, but that would freak me out. I'd have dreams all night. I'm being chased by gigantic lobsters with rubber bands around their claws. Anyway, I don't understand the inside of a lobster. There's the lobster tail, which is tasty as hell. You have to second mortgage your home to buy a lobster tail. It is very, very expensive. And then there's this little green stuff in the lobster. Now, I could Google this, but if I Googled it, then I would have nothing to talk about on this radio show. So just bear with me. There's a bear with me. There's this green, looks like guacamole, but it's not. There's this green stuff, this green mushy stuff inside of the lobster. And someone told, and it's, I think it's called roe. It's called roe. And someone told me that is the stomach. That is the poop. That is the intestinal poop inside of the lobster. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. In other words, when the lobster eats something, and by the way, what does a lobster eat? I mean, at that juncture, like, what does a lobster do when it wants to go out and have some really fine food? What do you eat? Lobster's the top of the food chain with that stuff. Anyway, lobster eats stuff. I guess it's a bottom feeder. It'll feed from your bottom. And I guess when the stomach of the lobster, if it has one, a whole belly, it breaks it down. And you're looking at that green stuff is the shit of a lobster. And did you ever eat that not knowing what it was? It's very, very tasty. Now, I don't know if it's true. Brian Williams told me it was the shit of a lobster, and I don't know if it's true or not. Oh, my God. Seriously? Seriously? I love lobster, and I will eat lobster. I love steak, and I will eat a cow. But somehow, I cannot see these lobsters fighting for their lives in a lobster tank. I can't look at the thing I'm about to eat in the tentacle eyes, and this thing is alive, and its twin is in there with it. By the way, if you ever go to a restaurant and order twin lobsters, if those two lobsters look anything different from each other, you complain, you have it sent back and say, hey, listen to me, I ordered twin lobsters, you gave me like two lobsters that I don't believe are related at all. This lobster is a little bit bigger than the other one, and its claw is like kind of like moving to the, you know, like to the right a little bit. It's kind of angled to the right. These are not twin lobsters. These are not two lobsters from the same mother lobster. Don't you dare try to trick me by bringing in lobsters that are totally unrelated and calling them twin lobsters. On your sign outside, it says Twin Lobsters, $16.95. I want the twins. Ever have a lobster macaroni and cheese? It is just awful to put an expensive chunk of lobster meat in macaroni and cheese. It's like taking the Queen of England and putting her in bowling shoes. It just doesn't. Why did I use that reference, bowling shoes, so much? Years ago, I was passing by a really broken down diner kind of restaurant, and outside on a sign, they were advertising their special, and it was chicken, and they also had crab legs, and on the sign it said chicks with crabs, and I thought, I don't know if this is a restaurant or a strip bar. Not to say that all dancers in strip bars are chicks with crabs. I there are probably some chicks in there that don't have crabs. I really don't know, but I assume some do. That's my assumption, and I think I'm probably right. I think basically if you have 100 women lined up, a couple of them are going to have crabs.
You are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. Sounds like somebody needs to learn to make better choices.
All right, we're going to talk about one of the major, if not the major reason that marriages don't work out, and it's couples dealing with their financial problems. And in most cases, we all go through financial woes for a good segment of our lives, if not all of it. And you wonder in the back of your mind, how am I going to afford to retire or reford, which is not a word. So I thought I would speak to Kristen Robinson, who is with Fidelity. I ran into her in the street. I hit her with my car, and I said, hey, I do a radio show. She says, hey, I'm with Fidelity. I said, okay, if you don't sue me, you can come on my show. And she said, fine. So here's Kristen Robinson. Kristen Robinson is Senior Vice President of Women and Young Investors with Fidelity's Personal Investing Division. She joins us now. How you doing, Kristen?
Good, thank you. How are you this morning?
I'm great. What part of the country do you reside in?
I'm in the Boston area.
Oh, that's you. I see you. Wave to me. I'm waving to you. Okay. It's a small world, isn't it? Okay.
It is.
It's small. Okay, Fidelity recently did a survey. I always find surveys interesting because I find out how normal I may be. The survey had to do with how much couples know about each other's financial position, and how did that turn out?
Well, I'll say that we were very surprised when we asked these couples how well they communicate when it comes to financial matters. 72% of these couples said that they communicate very well, mm-hmm. yet only 4 in 10 know what their other half earns. Oh. So there's definitely a disconnect.
So it sounds like they think they're doing well, so they really don't care what the other one's earning because it doesn't matter and there's not controversy involved, I guess.
Well, I'm not sure that's it. We actually looked at that, and we think that there's a few reasons. First of all, people generally do not talk about money. Mm-hmm. Talking about money is a taboo subject. Many individuals have been raised not to talk about money.
True.
So that's the first challenge. I think the second is that since 2008, there's been really a different type of work environment. And what I mean by that is that there's many individuals who are employed contractually on projects, whether they're in construction or whether they're a software developer mm-hmm. delivering a new application. When these projects end, they typically go to the next project. And that may mean that there's inconsistent income mm-hmm. coming in. Yeah. And then the last is that some individuals are tied, part of their compensation is tied to a company's performance. So, for example, their annual bonus.
Yeah.
So if a company does well, that might be higher, and if not, it might be lower.
Money also is a subject of stress. And I know, mm-hmm. I remember when I was younger, talking about it was always like a downer. I had to have a couple of drinks first because it was often depressing because you're never really happy with what you have unless you're doing really well. And that might be a reason to avoid that topic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that regardless of how much money you make, mm-hmm. it's really important to establish goals and establish a budget and then really plan to achieve those goals.
Okay. Then I know that you're talking about in the study about how couples look toward the future. And mm-hmm. I know that when I was younger, that was one of the major conversations always in the back of your mind, where you're going to go in retirement, what's going to happen in later years. And is that readily discussed anymore, or is it more like I so much don't know what's going on that I can't even think about the future?
Well, it was really interesting, the results of the study. A third of these couples said that they are definitely not on the same page when it comes to their lifestyle uh-huh. in retirement. Uh-huh. So it seems like they're not having the conversation. And in fact, we found that many of these individuals also did not know how much they would need when it comes to retirement.
Yeah.
So there's a challenge out there, and individuals do need to talk about this mm-hmm. and talk about their money so that they can be aligned and yeah. achieve the goals that they want to achieve.
You know, Kristen, here's what I see is that people are scared to invest. And unless you do invest in somehow, some method, you really can't have your money grow these days unless you do it smartly, but you have to do something. But I think so many people were freaked out with what happened in 2007, 2008, that they're scared that investment means loss and doesn't necessarily mean that. But I think they're scared to get back into the game, quote unquote.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about this, and, you know, there's certainly many people that have taken their money and, you know, put it in savings accounts or under their mattress, whatever the case may be. but I think that really, you know, there's an opportunity to look at what your goals are, mm-hmm. what the time horizon is,
yeah.
and then what your risk profile is. Mm-hmm. And there's certainly there's opportunities to have your money make money.
Yeah.
And really align to, like I said, your risk profile as well as your timeline.
Yeah, but it's important to do, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, and the climate has changed. I mean, even though there's no more savings, and you mentioned savings accounts. If you find one, let me know. I don't think there is a real I know when I was a little child, they were making like 5-7% a year or something, or maybe even more. And you knew that if you started mm-hmm. as a kid, by the time you retired, you'd be okay on a savings account. I don't think that happens anymore.
Yeah, it's definitely challenging.
Yeah.
And that's why we do encourage individuals to look at their own personal situation
yeah.
and make sure that their money's working hard for them, because they're certainly working hard for their money.
Yeah. So the message is, do something about it. I always say you don't operate on your own body. If you have a medical problem, you get a professional because they know how to do it. You don't. And that's what I say about investing. I mean, you have to know the ins and the outs and the pitfalls and the wonderful roads. And people shouldn't have a fear to doing that.
Absolutely. And we really look at it, we look at that as the three C's. You need to communicate.
Yeah.
So you need to understand and communicate with your spouse or significant other. What are your next big goals? Whether it's, if you're starting out, you're saving for a home, saving for a trip to Italy, paying for college, or even in retirement, you need to talk about what that will actually look like and plan for it.
Yeah, it's the old story.
And then you need to collaborate.
Yeah, you do. Although still, that's probably tough for couples to talk about. And so you're saying that couples don't know what each other makes necessarily. Do you think it's because they don't ask or that they do consider that to be private? I know my parents never talked about it to each other, ever. But that was a different generation.
Yeah. I think that there's definitely part of that, though, that has been carried on to this generation as well.
Yeah.
Talking about money is just a taboo subject. And, in fact, we did a prior study, and what we found is that women would rather talk to their healthcare provider about their health versus their financial advisor about their money.
Yeah.
So it's something that I think is carried on to these generations.
Mm.
And it's something that, whether you talk about the actual dollar amount, it may not be as important as really defining what your goals are and make sure that they're aligned and you're on the same page. Because what we find is that often people think that they are on the same page, and in fact, they're not.
Yeah.
And we do have a tool that you can access on fidelity.com/couplesquiz. And it's basically 9 questions that you could take with your spouse or significant other, and you'll be able to answer those questions and then compare how you answer them.
Right.
And what that does is it really serves as a great platform to have these discussions and identify where those disconnects are.
Wonderful. We're out of time, but that's where you go. And thank you so much for your time and bringing this up, Kristen, because, you know, the best job in the world is making your money work for you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ron.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, go now. Okay, you're done. You're finished. Anyway, thank you, Kristen. Kristen Robinson, ladies and gentlemen. Give her a hand. Seriously, don't. She can't hear you. Although she's in Boston, so good. I'm confused about retirement. I think on television, when you look at commercials about retirement and in movies, retired people, they just kind of sit around. It makes it look really glorious, where all you have to worry about once you retire is getting the paper or the newspaper from the front step of wherever you're living. Did you get the paper yet, Martha?
No, did you?
No, I'll get it. And then you spend the rest of the day sitting on a couch reading the paper. And apparently this is what retirement is. And you sit on the couch and you don't do anything. That's retirement. And the only thing you have to look forward to in the morning is lunch.
Is lunch ready?
Yeah, coming.
And that's why retired people go to dinner at 4:00 in the afternoon, because they're bored off their ass. There's nothing to do.
I think I'll lean a little bit over this way and read the paper on this part of the couch for a while. Is it dinner time yet?
No, it's only 5:00 in the morning.
Okay. I'm going to go to the bathroom now. I'll be in the bathroom for about 7 hours. I'll be out later, and then we can go sit on the couch more. Did you get the mail?
No.
Well, I'll get the mail. Let me see if there's any mail. Hey, look, we got another letter from AARP.
Okay, how are they doing?
It's a newsletter about people like us sitting on the couch.
Oh, boy.
I might go to the bathroom now. Can we have some coffee?
Sure, here's some coffee.
Is it time for dinner? I'm going to go to the bathroom now.
Okay. Me too.
Okay. Did I get the mail yet?
Yes.
Oh, that's the AARP, apparently. That's where I got that from, that letter from them.
Yeah.
How's your sister?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
If that's what retirement is, string me up by my balls right now. Oh my God, OMG. I think it's healthy for people mentally to keep working or to do something. And, you know, all these little periodicals, they say, oh, you can plant a garden. You can take a shovel and make a little garden. And when you're retirement age, you don't want to get on your knees and do a garden. That's what you do when you're not retired.
I got plenty of time to do a garden.
Be careful about your knees. They've both been replaced along with your hip and along with your shoulders. And your foot replacement and your face replacement. Be careful. And don't fall down. Your hips will break. You're so brittle.
I know. I'll be careful. Did I get the mail yet?
I don't remember.
Is it time for dinner? Let's go to sleep, and I'll wake up in the morning, and I'll get more mail tomorrow. Okay, let's lie down a little bit.
What? I don't want to retire. I need to do something, man.
As long as you can move, you should move, and don't retire. And everybody wants to move to Florida. That's the big retirement community. And then they opened up a branch because they filled Florida up to the brim with people. There's no more room for you. If you want to retire, there's no more room in Florida anymore. You have to go to Arizona, which is a Republican state. And, you know, I'm not so is Florida. I don't really know. But you can't. These places are getting filled up really quick. And now they got families going to Orlando, and it's fucking up the retirement communities because Florida is only supposed to be for people that want to retire. Because all of Florida is a golf course, the whole friggin' state. You know, the largest gross national product of Florida is orange and lime green golf pants. That's the biggest ticket. I can't do it. I can't do it. I just can't. I can't.
Is it time for dinner yet?
Can you imagine spending the final years of your life constantly asking if it's time to go out to dinner yet? So there's your retirement. I mean, keep working, man. You know, just keep working. Just keep working. As long as you can move, continue to move. Just keep working. Because, man, I can't. Fill my eyes with that double vision. No disguise for that double vision.
Ooh, when it gets through to me, it's always new to me. My double vision is the best of me. Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickerschechter Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified, high-quality, shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickerschechter. I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
Wow. That's pretty depressing. But true. All right, I do this once a month. I play my favorite commercial. This is a real commercial. It's an attorney that practices, I think, in Rhode Island and Florida. He's a divorce attorney. This is a real commercial. This is not a comedy commercial. This is an actual commercial. I love this thing.
Hi, I'm Steve Miller. I've been a trial lawyer in Florida and Massachusetts since 1985. If you and your spouse hate each other like poison and want to get out of the hellhole you call a marriage, you've come to the right place. Look, you can waste your money screwing around with some paper pusher paralegal type, give thousands of dollars to some piece of crap three-piece suit downtown, blow your brains out trying to figure out why you wasted $25 on the crappy forms you bought from the illiterate boob at the courthouse, or do what I say and do it now. We know what we're doing here. Look at this website, a work of art. Here's the story. Pay us a little and we get you a lot. Don't worry about the details. We'll take care of business and let you know when to crack open the champagne. Okay, time to move on. Go to the Get the Divorce page in the upper right corner, pay up, and you're on your way to getting rid of that vermin you call a spouse. We're here to help. Divorce EZ, a Florida law firm.
Holy crap. Holy crap. Wow. That is nasty stuff. I went to the Market Basket supermarket yesterday, and I really did. I'm not kidding. I swear it's true. And I pull into a space, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking through my rear view mirror, which is what I do when I want to look behind my car just before I get out of my car.
and I see this guy in his car coming at me at the space in front of me. He's backing in, and he's coming at my car, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, no, don't hit my car, and he didn't. But I'm thinking, like, what is the mentality of backing into a space? Are you gonna rob Market Basket? Are you going to create a burglary here? And your quick getaway would be to get in the car, and the car is pointed in the exit position, so you can get in your car with the stuff you stole from Market Basket and just pull right out of the space directly forward, and you're on the highway before you know it. And there's a shootout. Hey, pull over. What? And I got to admit to you that when I was younger, I backed into spaces because I had what I think was some type of mental disorder. And I always wanted to set myself up for the future. These are the kinds of people that put their clothes out the night before, so when they get up in the morning, their clothes are already laid out for them and they don't have to make a decision in the morning. The clothes are there, you put them on, and you get on with your life. It's the same mentality, and I don't know what it's called. I don't know what that syndrome, because everything's a syndrome, is called. But it's setting yourself up for the inevitable future. You know that you are going to be exiting that parking space very soon when you're finished shopping or when you're finished going to the movies and seeing the movie. And you want to get in your car and have your car pointed in the out position. You don't want to have to back up and put the thing in reverse and then back out of the space and then go forward in order to get out of the parking lot. You want your car already set up for the exit. Needless to say, it's more difficult to back into a space than it is simply to pull into a space. And then once you're in the space, it's a lot easier to back out and leave than it is to maneuver the back of your car so specifically into a small space. But it's the mentality of the person that causes you to do this. And again, I did it myself for a period of time in my life. And then all of a sudden, it just dawned on me, what the hell am I doing? Why am I making it so difficult for myself to back into a space so that it's easier for myself later when I want to leave? Why am I doing that? And I stopped doing it. And you need to do that too. If you back your car into spaces, you have a mental condition. And it's okay. I mean, it's not like, you know, you should be put away or see a psychologist and be on medication the rest of your life. Maybe you should, but for different reasons. But you got to stop doing that. It's annoying. There's something psychologically pathetic about doing that. Well, time does not permit me to continue. Time is not on my side. I will be with you again tomorrow. Should you choose to join me, I shall be here. Until then, I wish you peace. I surely do. By the way, you've been just wonderful today. You've just been fantastic. Come here. I'm going to put a little gold star on your forehead to show, A, that you've been just really good today and to make yourself proud, and B, so when you walk around the public, people are going to look at you like you're some kind of moron or something. Sorry, I use the word moron, and that is not politically correct.
Whatever.